Hello and welcome to another edition of the LinuxInstall.net podcast. This is episode number 107, recorded on Tuesday, April 22nd, 2014. Jeff Nupp is going to talk to us about what he really meant in his blog post from a little over a week ago. He also gives us the inside track on what it's like to, have a whole bunch of people hate on you for something you wrote. Jeff's attitude's really good. We had a fun time doing this podcast. Please, folks, give him a chance. Hear out what he has to say. And without further ado, let's get this podcast started. Supposedly. I think we're live. Finally.
I think we are, too. Maybe.
It says live.
There we go. Now we have a little live bug, so I know we're live. All right. My name is Brian Wagner. With me tonight as my co-hosts are actually all of my co-hosts are back this evening from their various trips. Mr. Greg Martin.
Howdy.
Mr. Joseph Luzzi.
Evening, sir.
And Mr. Walt Giovic.
Hello.
And we have a very special guest tonight who we will be giving a very hot seat to. Mr. Jeff Nupp.
Am I pronouncing it correctly? How's it going? I'm sorry. Nupp. Yep, Nupp.
Right. Okay. We're going to skip our normal introductions because we want to give Jeff as much time. Jeff's taking quite a beating over the last week. So we want to give Jeff some time to both talk to us because he responded back to us last week after our podcast where we were talking about his article out there about DevOps Guild, the developer, right? Is that what you titled it?
How DevOps is killing the developer.
Yeah. He stirred up quite a hornet's nest, actually.
And yeah, I was quite surprised at the response.
It almost sparked a little bit of a religious war, really. I mean,
honestly, I mean, you had people climbing out of the woodwork from this one.
Yeah.
Especially on Twitter, but. Sorry to interrupt.
No, go right ahead, because that was where I was going to go with this. So what was it like to face? I mean, I was just standing on the sidelines looking at it, and then once you had responded to me, I started paying closer attention to you specifically to see what other interactions you were having. And it did seem both on Twitter and I pulled out just two of the articles that I saw and think there were a couple more for our rundown in our show notes. Where people kind of took you to task, I'll use that term, I think.
Sure.
Some of the, I think it's more the wording than really what you were saying.
Yeah, I think one of the big problems that people have had with, you know, the article was my use of specific words, and it's my fault as a writer, and it's not for any ill will or anything like that, but specifically talking about the totem pole. You know, everyone assumes that instantly means we're talking about worth or the value of something, or importance. But, you know, I was just trying to evoke a visual image of, you know, how you could, I guess, see the linkage between who can do in a pinch whose job. And that's the other thing. Everyone, you know, assumed that I was saying that developer can automatically just become an awesome system administrator or an awesome DBA. And I'm not saying a developer can even do a good job, but in a pinch, they, you know, can do something. Whereas it's not really true in the other direction when we're talking about development. And that's really what I was saying. Now I know some SAs know how to code, you know, and write shell scripts and stuff like that, but I'd say it's the exception rather than the rule. The totem pole and me talking about hierarchy was not about developers are more important, developers are precious little snowflakes. You know, it's really just trying to describe, you know, in pictures who can do whose job in a pinch.
So one of the things that kind of came across to me that I was trying to talk to you last week, and I don't know if I did, because after the podcast, I didn't realize how much Greg and I had talked about the post before we got on. because I wanted to be, I wanted to think through what I said, because I didn't want to just rip you apart to rip you apart, because that wasn't sure. really what I meant. You did say, like you said some things that at least hit, I think, Joe and me both, because we've dealt with enough
developers that have this have that kind of attitude. No, I totally understand.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I'm trying to make it clear that I don't think I could just walk up and do your job or walk up and become a DBA. The thing is, you know, I was talking about utility, and the idea is, you know, with startups, they start out with developers. I mean, part of my argument would be, when was the last time you saw a startup that said, yeah, we have six DBAs, but we're just getting big enough to hire our first developer? You know, it's, I mean, it's just a fact. I'm not, you know, making this up, that developers in a pinch can do a passable job and of, or maybe not even a passable job, but they can do something. So, you know, all things being equal, a developer, you know, is useful, but that's not to say that
it's a chameleonic role.
Oh yeah. No, it's, you know, certainly. Yeah. And that's kind of the problem is, you know, when startups had this kind of organization where developers are doing all of the op stuff, all of the DBA stuff, they grow bigger, but they say, we don't need to hire ops people and DBA people. We just need to hire smarter developers that can do everything. And I think a lot of companies in general, because of the DevOps movement, have kind of taken that away from it. I mean, DevOps is clearly, if the debate showed anything, it shows that DevOps is a term that no one really knows the meaning of. If you look on Hacker News or on Slashdot, on Reddit, I mean, the number of different, you know, you're an idiot, DevOps isn't that, DevOps is X, there were so many X's that, you know, I lost count. But one thing I, you know, is clear is that it is some sort of movement. And I think a lot of, you know, companies are just doing it wrong. And what they end up with is overworked developers and no one, developers doing the jobs that other professionals are paid to do and, you know, can do better. Which I think is a bit less contentious. You know, it's maybe.
See, because, okay, just to back you up, I see the same thing. So, of course, I have another podcast and I have another website called DevOpsMastery.com. Mm-hmm. I took my stab at defining it. I have, since writing that article not even a month ago or not even 2 months ago, I have seen no less than 20 different people saying, this is the definitive description, and I don't think any of us agreed on more than a few points.
Yeah.
And those points would be that it's writing code to automate stuff that is around specifically operations, generally around everything, like the complete package of automating deliverables.
I think that really sells system administrators short, because SAs have been automating stuff for decades. This is not a new thing. Automating, you know, the control of systems. I mean, CF Engine has been around forever. You know, 1,000 mm-hmm. machine installs were common even in the 90s at places. So I don't see, you know, I hear that a lot, that it's treating operations as kind of, you know, a development task. But it was already like that. It's just giving it a new name. In that respect.
And in my description of it, that's one of the first things I said. I've been scripting and automating systems since 1995. So this is not some new thing. And that's what kind of irritates me when people try to say DevOps just came about, whenever I think most people are trying to credit Alsep for saying it. I don't know if he'd even say that he really thinks it. He tried to make a coherent argument for what it should be, but I don't know that he actually tried to say that he thought he was creating some new thing. I don't think he's right. ever said that. But when you look at this, all these people act like this just came out of the woodworks. Like, nobody was automating before 2004 or right. whatever.
It's silly. Yeah.
And it's like, no, we were automating in 95. I mean, easily. Yeah. And the first time that I saw a complete
system and much further back than that. I mean, you know, programmers on Unix machines were essentially their own system operators and were writing, you know, programs to automate maintenance. I mean, for as long as Unix has been around. So, you know, this is certainly not a new trend. And the fact that people are saying that DevOps is this, you know, brand new thing where operations people learn to write scripts is just ridiculous.
But do you think that's where the problem comes from, though, is that they don't understand the proper history of automation itself?
I think the problem is that DevOps has just become a meaningless term. And so, you know, some people take it to mean, in part, that you know, ops writing scripts. But that's not a useful definition of DevOps because it's just nonsense. So, you know, if DevOps is something, it's got to be something different than that. And, you know, I've gone through the list, Brian, just like, you know, I'm sure you have, and seen all the descriptions of what DevOps, here's the definitive definition of what DevOps is. But, you know, certainly the one thing that's clear is there is no agreement between anyone what DevOps is. And I think that, you know, that gets dangerous because people then are able to subvert the term and, you know, like Agile has become this, you know, kind of term that consultants and snake oil salesmen have, you know, have attached themselves to. And I feel like DevOps is going the same way. The term and the movement.
It's interesting too, because you were bringing up Agile. The other one that I've just recently started seeing people pull into some ambiguity area is ITIL. And ITIL is a very clearly defined thing at all of its different levels. This is what ITIL is. And ITIL has been around forever. And people are trying to say, like, ITIL failed. Well, the only reason ITIL, in my opinion, would fail is if you try to overdo it, is the most often way I've seen it fail. But it's the same thing. People are now trying to co-opt that into meaning something else, like service discovery, which is one very small part of ITIL. And it's a much bigger system. And I think DevOps is that same way. It's a big thing. And, you know, you bring up Agile. And for some reason, Agile and DevOps get tied together a lot. And they're not dependent on each other. You don't need to be doing Agile to do DevOps.
No, certainly not.
Scripting or anything like that. And you don't need DevOps to do Agile. You can do Agile without DevOps. I mean,
I think
automation makes Agile easier, but it doesn't. It's not a requirement.
I think because they came about, you know, at similar times, they kind of got tied together. And, you know, there are some things that overlap in what they're promoting, but, you know, the creator of Ansible wrote a blog post in reaction to my piece. And, you know, in that he talks about that exact thing that, you know, it's, but I mean, for him, it is Agile. It is treating infrastructure in some new Agile way, at least partly. And, you know, I just don't see the whole argument for, you know, now we're treating it all as code. You've been doing that for years. I mean, this is nothing new. And there are DevOps, you know, practitioners. There are people who are hired as in the DevOps group. I have no problem with what they do. I think they're fantastic individuals, specifically at the company I currently work for. My article was not based on some like terrible axe I have to grind against our DevOps team, although they probably thought so. but no, I mean,
have you been mending that fence all week? Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh yeah, no, I sent emails and all that, but
resources emailing you. It's like, hey, you like your job?
Yeah, no. My manager asked me if I had written some sort of article because he had heard that maybe I wasn't enjoying work or something. But no, so actually, it, you know, has nothing to do with that. And our DevOps team, I have a good relationship with them. They've done, you know, really useful stuff like automated development environments with Docker, things of that nature. See, that's where I think, you know, DevOps can play a role. I don't think it's developers doing operations. I don't think it's operations people, starting to write scripts. I think it's those kind of nebulous in-between tasks that who owns it? Well, now there's kind of a new role that owns it. And I'm totally fine with that. For people who, you know, are hired as DevOps engineers or whatever you want to call them, certainly they have a useful role. And, you know, I have no contention with that. It's really the movement that I'm talking about.
Does anybody else have any questions for Jeff?
How's it feel to be openly attacked on the internet? I mean, that was crazy.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, my blog is reasonably popular, but certainly has never gotten a response like this before. So I'm used to, you know, being mentioned on the internet, but never like as clearly negative as, you know, some of the responses were. Mm-hmm. At first it stung a little, but I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I come home to my wife and my daughter and I know what's important and I just kind of let it roll off my back. I have an opinion, you know, here it is. People didn't like it. Well, it's not the end of the world. You know, I'm not going to waste time worrying about if I didn't upset people or if I didn't, you know, make a conversation, then I wrote something useless.
Right.
So, you know, I'm at least glad that there was a reaction.
And I felt a lot the same way because I got not anywhere near your level of response, but I did get response from an article I wrote about, you know, basically calling out people who call themselves scripters, because these people that call themselves scripters seem to always think that they can just write code, throw it out there, and it doesn't have to be commented, and it looks, you know, they're really not following any good practices for anybody's, by anybody's standard. And I had a whole bunch of Python people that were just really ticked off at me going, well, we're scripters. And I'm like, I hate to break it to you guys, but you're programmers. You really are programmers. You're not scripters. Especially if you're getting upset with me, you're really not a scripter anymore.
You right.
moved on. And I basically, that was my point, was stop treating it like you can just produce, you know, producing a quick one-off script is okay, but if you're going to make it useful for anybody else, you have to do the right things. You have to version control it. You have to comment it. And you have to write some level of documentation about how to use it.
A lot of my blog articles focus on that kind of stuff, and certainly my book does as well, is, you know, writing Python the way that it makes it easy to maintain and other people to read. So, yeah, I certainly agree with you. And I agree with the scripter thing. You know, it's that cowboy coding, you know, write a script on the production server type of mentality. And certainly, you know, that's not good for anyone. But yeah, nothing you say about somebody's job is going to go unnoticed, I think. So, yeah, I mean, you could say that, you know, like limo drivers are useless. Yeah, you know, and now I'm going to get flamed by limo drivers because people take it very personally. You know, it's their profession, and I understand that. I'm not, you know, trying to rag on anyone, but you know, there has to be a discussion around, you know, what's the best use of everyone's time. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things from the article, I think there's just so much crossover nowadays between jobs in IT. And that's something that I guess has kind of always been around. I mean, it's something that I've kind of always experienced. I think, Brian, you have too. It's whatever your job description is, what you end up doing usually is a much broader occurrence, especially when working in IT.
Sure. I definitely agree with that. But I think that specifically DevOps, the movement, has, you know, created this notion of the, you know, the full stack developer, this term that I absolutely hate, because it's like saying, you know, the DBA SA developer for interpreted, compiled x86 ARM, Windows, you know, everything. I mean, they basically want you to do everything. And when companies are hiring, they're not saying we have an ops problem and we need to hire ops people. They're saying we have an ops problem, so we need developers who know ops. And that's clearly the wrong thing to do. But I feel like that's kind of where DevOps has taken a lot of companies.
I guess judging by that mentality, you think would it salvage the movement, so to speak, if companies were a little clearer about their intentions and what they were looking for?
I think at this point it's too late almost. I don't think that you can just say this is what DevOps means to me and everyone just jumps on board. You know, if you're not of a trivial size, you're going to have internal disagreements. I mean, it's, you know, if this reaction has shown us anything, it's that no one can agree on what the meaning of DevOps is. So, you know, for companies that are already doing it and have DevOps teams, you know, I think that they probably have figured out a good model. But for people who just have developers and say they're doing DevOps, that's not what the intended purpose is.
I saw going on that theme that you're talking about. I was going to ask you, and you answered it already, but I was going to ask you what this full stack developer, because you're not the only one throwing this term around. And it's like, to me, I'm going, I don't know, when you say those words, that sounds to me like somebody who knows how to program in C at the kernel level, can also program in bash scripting, can program in something like Python, all the way up to something really high level like Ruby. And they're going to be masters of all those things. And I'm like, well, that's really not very realistic either. They might know several of those items or all of them, but they'll never master all of them. I see it a lot, and I have seen this for years. A lot of, especially smaller companies, want to hire an operations person who is fluent in all things Cisco, every version of Windows known to man, and Linux. And, by the way, we've got this Solaris box in the back that nobody knows anything about. So if you had Solaris, that would be really good, too.
And an old AS400.
Oh, yeah, the old AS400, right. The old AS400 that's running our registers. We want that. You know, can you manage that, too?
Don't get me started on that crap, man.
But I've seen the same thing. I've seen the same thing with requests that I get for developers, though, too, because it's like, well, we want them to know C and Java and Python and Ruby. And, oh, hey, you know what? When they know Java, they should probably know Hibernate, too, at a really deep level. And
the thing is, if it was just development, if it was just programming languages that they want developers to know, I mean, you know, that's reasonable. I expect to hire a developer that knows the following languages. Fine. But it's also, you need to know how to administer a database and how to deploy and support a production machine, I mean, there are a number of very large companies that I know that have kind of taken the DevOps movement to mean that the devs own the code all the way to production and including production. So, you know, the devs provision the machines, they control the database, they are in charge of, you know, setting up packages, all that kind of stuff, and they own it from end to end. And I just really think that that's a silly and kind of scary way to operate. You know, it's cutting out the professionals whose job it is to do those things with developers who can at best do a passable job and typically just, you know, mess things up. So, but it's becoming more and more common to look for developers that can do everything. I mean, I was just going through my email and I got PyCoders Weekly. There were, you know, they have their job ads. 3 of 7 of them were for full stack engineers. Like, you know, it's not as if this term isn't out there. I mean, people are asking for this full stack engineer. And if they were only talking about programming, fine. But they want people who are able to do literally everything.
You know, I think that's what kind of scared me out of because I'm a straight programmer. I mean, I do other things too, just out of necessity, having had to have done, you know, like mild DBA and deployment and all that other kind of stuff. But, you know, there was a while there where I actually stopped doing development, period. And I think that's what scared me the most was I realized that, you know, I'm not up to snuff like I am in programming with all this other stuff. And I can't keep up with it right now because it's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I literally didn't code for like 4 years.
I mean, on the Ansible blog, the creator of Ansible said, I created this because I was a developer who was, you know, getting pulled in to do operations type stuff too often. And I knew that I wanted more time to write code. And that's why I wrote Ansible. And, you know, hopefully other developers can, you know, use it to save time. But I think when you get to the point that developers are writing tools to take themselves out of a job, you know, something is clearly wrong.
Well, and there's also, okay, so I'm a CISSP also. So there's also a clear rule of security, which is that you should have a separation of duties and you really should have some clear breaking points, especially when you get into a production situation. And I've been told before that I take it to an extreme because I really won't let developers do anything more than read logs, you know, mm-hmm. go in and touch logs and stuff like that. But if they need to make a change, they need to go through me so that my team and I know what was changed because we're the ones who end up being responsible for production.
And see, that's, I think, the kind of the old model. And that's what I think most of us are used to. But, you know, in this DevOps movement, you know, that's exactly what they're trying to move away from and give, you know, developers and operations more freedom to kind of cross-pollinate, developers owning more of the stack. And I just don't see it as a useful thing. I think the kind of siloed approach works well because we have people specializing and specialization is, you know, what's at the end of the day useful.
Well, now in regards to the siloing, I agree with most of kind of what you just said there, other than the siloing part, because to me, what I would hope DevOps would bring to the table is the communication and the bridge between a developer and an ops team, because you don't want, I know I wouldn't want to go back to the way where I've worked at some places where the silos are just so much, so ingrained that there's like no communication between the teams.
Right.
And I think you definitely need that. It's I know where I currently work over the years, it's been changing and the developers and operations have definitely become closer. It's definitely made everybody's job easier mm-hmm. as we bridge that gap from, I know, like when I started.
So that's, you know, another definition that's always talked about is it's increasing communication between developers and operations. And obviously, I have no problem with that, but that in and of itself is not a movement, right? That's yeah. just a company fixing a problem, which is lack of communication between two groups who work very closely on the same product. I don't see that as some giant movement I have to get behind. That's, you know, just common sense. I mean, to me, it's... And it's one of the definitions you hear a lot about for DevOps. And to me, it's just another kind of useless one. Not that the communication is useless, the definition is, because of course you want ops to talk to devs to talk to ops and vice versa. And of course you want devs to talk to the business and, you know, have them closely involved. And, you know, all of this stuff, I mean, no one is saying that we all sit in separate buildings and communicate via, you know, snail mail. It's, you know, I mean, it's, this is all common sense stuff. And I feel like the DevOps movement is saying, look at this new, interesting thing. There's nothing new or interesting there.
But communication and documentation are so hard. I mean, it's just one of those things where you start getting good at it and you're like, whoa.
That's true, but it's part of being a professional, right? I mean, right. You know, you have a job to do and, yeah, it's hard. You know, that's why you get paid.
and even though it is common sense, there are, and I know Brian can attest to this, there's a lot of companies out there that that type of mentality is still old school, and there's still that big separation there.
Yeah, and I understand that. That may be one of the few places where, you know, if DevOps were to catch on, it could help. But I kind of have the feeling if a company is so backward as to have that problem, they're not going to adopt DevOps in any meaningful way that is proper. It's going to be some bastardization of DevOps that they're going to end up with. So, you know, if they got themselves into that problem in the first place, they've got more problems than DevOps is going to fix, I think.
Yeah, I think that's true too. I mean, I've seen plenty of companies. I, as a consultant, get to go to all kinds of companies. So I see all kinds of places and different things. And I've done work for startups, and I've done work for even a startup that went dot boom in the .com era, and saw a lot of this too. The ones that were definitely more successful were the ones that had maybe 3 or 4 developers, a system admin, and hopefully a DBA who knew what they were doing. But when I've gotten to larger companies, it ends up being that silo all the time, and there's always pissing contests. You know, who's the biggest, who's the baddest, and I think that's a lot of where the response to you came from was people who are burnt and just fried on this whole idea of, and from a sysadmin's position, I've seen it often, not most even, but I've seen it often where developers have that very cavalier, we know everything, you're just dumb button pushers, or you just reboot systems all day.
Especially Ruby programmers. I'll get flamed for that, but you know what I mean. I totally agree, and I've seen it too. You know, it's not something that is limited to SAs. I mean, I've seen operations be treated that way, and because I came out and said something that seemed to be saying that one is better than the other, you know, people are so tired of this debate, and of course they just, are apt to misinterpret what I was trying to say with, this is just the same old debate that dev is better than ops, or, that's really not the point.
Well, that seems to be what you primarily got back, was people who were mad, like developers are saying, or even people who were, quote, lower than developers, you know what I mean? People were just angry at your supposed categorization. And I think the interesting thing for me, because I occasionally write some things that get negative attention sometimes, and it raises an interesting point. Like, I guess, A, do you feel like you have to watch what you say now? And B, do you feel people are just so tired of trying to work out what this is that any discussion about it is just moot?
I think the latter is probably true, but I don't think you as someone who writes on the internet, I mean, I don't really have to watch what I say. It's my personal blog, right? I mean, unless I'm saying something that is going to get me fired or is, I mean, if I have an opinion, and I get this all the time in the comments, people are like, this isn't fair. This isn't a fair and balanced point of view. Well, of course not. You're on my personal blog. This isn't Wikipedia. But I think that it's not really about watching what I say. It's just making sure that what I'm saying is construed in the way that it was meant. And that was probably the biggest problem with the article, and honestly, probably why it was popular. I think if I had done a better job of describing what I meant, then people would have probably just said, yeah, I pretty much agree with that, and moved on. But because it sounded like I was flaming ops, everyone has to chime in.
I was at work when I found your article, and I showed it, and immediately I thought of Brian, sent it to him, and he was reading it over. And the expression on his face, Jeff, I swear to you, he probably would have shit a brick if he would have seen it.
I can imagine. Yeah, no. It's...
like I said, we talked about it for a while because I knew you probably didn't mean it the way I read it. Let's put it that way.
No, and a lot of people read it that way.
And I was just like, I don't know. I don't think that's really what he meant. But wow, he just kept beating that drum, and it just kept, the more I read, the worse it got. And I'm like, okay.
But I think after hearing your explanation, though, Jeff, it it seems less like beating people, more just dragging out to the open what's already there and people are kind of not seeing, I guess.
Yeah, certainly it's not about, you know, and that's the other thing is there's needs to be a separation between DevOps the movement and DevOps the people. I was not speaking at all about the latter. You know, I was talking about really DevOps the movement and how that is killing the job of the what you would consider the developer.
But I think you know what you said it. You said it. Taking your point, okay. Mm-hmm. It's not just killing that argument or that way of, well, we want a developer that can do ops, that can do DBA, and be a developer all at the same time. That doesn't just kill developers. That also kills ops people and DBAs because now they're not looking for an ops person or a DBA.
Oh, yeah.
They want that one developer that can solve all their problems. And anybody who claims to be a master of all three is really not a master of any.
A liar. Yeah, no, I mean, I made that point in the article that, you know, what happens here is that dev that ops positions and like DBA positions get pushed out of the equation because they think that they can find these magical developers that can do all of this stuff, which is of course lunacy. I mean, you know, a developer can probably barely develop well enough to be called a developer, let alone do any of the other jobs. So. I do think that there's, you know, the risk of those positions being marginalized because they just think developers can do everything.
You heard it here, DBAs. I'm coming after you. Job is mine.
I just, yeah. So I don't know where to go with that.
that's what I'm good at. Showstoppers.
Like I said, I wanted to give you a chance to talk and kind of speak back to people. Trying to do it in 140 characters, you were doing your best on some of those. And it just 140 characters is just not enough to give a decent response that would explain what you've tried to explain today on the podcast. We have two viewers, and hopefully they're going to go back and watch the beginning part because they didn't come in until late. And they'll see more of what you were saying. Is there anything else that you want to say on this, or do we have any other comments on this, guys?
I think I'm good. I was glad to have you on the show and clarify that stuff for us. That was really awesome.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me, and I appreciate you, you know, talking about it last week. You know, it's any press is good press, right?
Yes. And speaking of good press, we actually have some good news, and we wanted to congratulate you, Jeff, on your successful Kickstarter campaign. Actually, more than successful, because you doubled and then some the amount you were asking for. So you're going to be producing some videos. Why don't you tell us about what you're producing?
So these videos are going to be based on my book, which is called Writing Idiomatic Python. It's kind of a series of a list of, you know, what is Pythonic and what isn't, and how to write code in a Pythonic way. So the videos will really be me taking real world, real bad code and refactoring it and using the principles from the book and calling out specific idioms. So there will be, you know, videos on like different parts of the Python language. So each one will focus on a different part, and then at the end there will be ones on like testing and documentation, things like that. But it's going to be released with a Creative Commons license, so free for everyone to do almost whatever they please with. Because, you know, we went past $10,000, that is the case. And yeah, thanks to everyone who backed that. The fact that it's going to be free for everyone, I think, is awesome, and I can't wait to get started.
Way cool.
So, okay, so now I have a question. As a backer of your project, when do I get my book? Because I want to read the book.
Okay, so the digital copies will be going out this week. If you were a backer for one of the physical copies, so I'm still in the editing process with No Starch Press, who is a fantastic publisher, by the way. And so the actual physical copy of the book won't be out till later this year, but you'll get the digital copy sometime by the end of the week, let's say.
Okay. Good, because I want to know how to write really proper Pythonic code.
I was just saying, if you want some bad Python examples, Brian can send you his whole folder.
Thank you. I need material, so feel free. I can just go back
Brian to set up for share.
You know?
Okay, thanks for ripping me down. Thanks, I really appreciate that. Way to have
a roll tonight. I gotta keep going.
Yeah, yes, you do. Just keep sticking that knife in. It's all right. thanks. I know. So we also wanted to thank you, Jeff. We really appreciate you coming on, and like I said, we wanted to give you some time to quote that. We are as normal running long, so. Does anybody else have anything else that we needed to talk about this week, or should we just let everybody go?
Fly free, little birdies.
I say stop it while it's good. Stop it at the top.
Yeah, they can't get much better than this.
So, in conclusion...
Thanks very much.
Oh, no problem.
Oh, no problem, Jeff.
And you can follow us on Twitter as @LinuxInstall. We have a great Google Plus community where there are more and more people every day, and unfortunately nobody else but me and Greg posts anything there. So if you guys want to post stuff there, please post there. You can check out the other stuff that Greg and Joe are doing over at What I'm Playing Now, and Walt is over at geovec.com, which I will have the link to in the show notes so that you don't have to try and spell geovec. And I am doing a thing called, very apropos for this, devopsmastery.com. Trying to actually explain what I think it is, which is very close to what Jeff was saying. It's really, in my opinion, one last thing. My opinion is DevOps is a union and a group effort towards developer and operations working together. And operations would include DBAs. Didn't mean to not include them, but... It's getting all that stuff together and people working together. It's about improving communications. It's about doing things the right way. And there is, yes, a right way. Just like there is ITIL, and there's a right way to implement ITIL, which some people don't seem to think there is. But anyways, that'll do it for this week. Joe, you've been gone the longest, so what should everybody go do?
Go install some Linux. Have a good week, everybody.
Have a good week.
All right. Thank you very much.
This has been a production of LinuxInstall.net. All original content produced in this podcast is released under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License. Please feel free to redistribute it to your friends.